I'm Brian Hales, and you are listening to Gospel Tangents.
It's the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. I'm excited to have Dr. Brian Hales back on the show. As you'll remember, Brian published a 3-volume set on Joseph Smith's polygamy, and we're going to talk about some of the feedback and criticisms he's received over the years. How do those books hold up? So check out our conversation. You won't want to miss it. Well, welcome to Gospel Tangents. I'm excited to have Dr. Brian Hales back on the show. Now, some of you, especially if you're not early listeners, probably missed his first interview back in 2017. And, you know, I have to laugh about that, Brian, because I remember when I called you and you said, no, my wife's doing a podcast and she wants me to be on hers. And I said, Brian, polygamists were never exclusive. And so anyway, she got the first interview with you, but yeah. I got one after that. So anyway, remind us, I think you were an Aggie and a Ute. Is that right?
Oh, wow. You have a good memory. Yes, I graduated with my undergrad from Utah State and then did medical school at the U.
Okay. And so about a month ago, I went to a fireside and I laughed. Because you made a joke that you put people to sleep because you're an anesthesiologist.
Right.
But when it comes to Mormon history, I think the opposite happens.
Oh.
You get people riled up.
Yeah. Well, we do have some spirited conversations and exchanges on media, so it's
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So So anyway, I remember the last time we talked a little bit about polygamy, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on there. In the last 3 or 4 years, in fact, I know there was even a conversation today where they called you out on Facebook about some of your conclusions.
Oh.
Anything you want to add really quickly on polygamy since our last chat?
Do you know, I appreciate, there's always critics, but recently my friend Larry Foster and others have said that the 3 volumes that Don Bradley and I put together in 2013, they're 8 years old now.
Wow.
That they do contain really transcripts or references to all of the pertinent documents to the topic. And I remember Don and I speaking that when we brought these out in 2013, that if in 10 years we could look back and say we had found 90%. We feel pretty good about it. Well, I honestly think we've got the DNA issue, and then there's this issue about Eliza R. Snow perhaps being raped in Missouri. And I mean, there's 2 or 3 kind of important things that would have been included in the volumes if we had had that data.
Right.
That obviously are not in there. But there really is no real big body of new polygamy documentation that's come out that allows an upgrade or a significant change in what we're looking at as we try to understand what's happening. And for people to say that we really got most of it or all of it, it makes me feel very good.
Mm-hmm.
And even though people disagree with what I say, you know, I like to say, don't call me an apologist, call me a transparencyist. and that, I think, is borne out. Because if Don and I were able to gather it and publish it all, from antis and supporters and all the sources in the trilogy, then we're really working more to being transparent with the documentation rather than just giving one view. Now, I do interpret the things, and that I think we earn that. When we gather the data, the person doing that work kind of earns the right to give an interpretation. And, of course, that's where people push back. And I'm happy to go there as long as we're talking from the documents and not opinions. And so anyway, I think we find ourselves in a very good place for at least understanding what can be understood about what happened in Nauvoo. So,
well, great. Yeah, so I've had Dr. Larry Foster on, Ann Wild. I've had Jim Von Cannon, who said, of course, Joseph was a monogamist. Denver Snuffer, who seems to agree with that. Do you have any thoughts on any critics there that you think are unfair attacks or anything like that?
I just think there's a lot of uninformed attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And when people start disagreeing with me, that's fine. I don't mind that. In fact, I sometimes wish they were going to bring some new data, but most of the time they don't even understand the old data that's already out there. And this Facebook discussion we had, I don't know that it was an attack, but discussion was really, I think, based upon people making accusations that the more valid Interpretation, I think, is that which I have advanced, not because I'm a believer, but because that is what the evidence leads you to better than any other interpretation. That's subjective, I understand, but I'm not interpreting it the way I do because I believe. I'm interpreting it that way because I think that is the best interpretation.
Well, let me ask you this, because I know this did come up on the Facebook group. One of the criticisms is that you seem to take... You will dismiss certain arguments if they're too late in the record, but if they support your arguments, then you will accept those arguments because they support your interpretation. And so there seems to be an inconsistency on whether something is an early record or a late record as to how you would interpret it. Do you think that's a fair criticism?
You know, I'm an amateur historian trying to become a professional historian. And there's one thing that historians do, and it's critical source analysis. And late and early, and is it first-hand, second-hand, third-hand, and when was it recorded after it occurred? All of these are factors that historians have to look at to weigh the value. And there's contradictory evidence. Absolutely there is. But again, I assert that the interpretations I have taken is because you have to drive a pathway through the contradictory evidences, through the ambiguities that are there, and come up with an interpretation which you think is the most valid. And it's also the same interpretation that the church has kind of solidified in the saints and in the Gospel Topic Essay. You'll find there's no contradiction in my three volumes and the material that they're presenting in those sources. But those are from believers. When you look at people who think Joseph was a fraud and an adulterer, they're going to interpret the data differently, not because they're looking at different data, it's just they're going in with different biases. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily what the evidence says as much as the person's a priori beliefs before they see the data.
Okay.
And I don't know how to get past that. That's yeah. just human nature. So.
Well, and I know I still get some people, especially it seems to be Denver Snuffer followers, who insist that Joseph Smith was a monogamist. And I just, it boggles my mind how anybody who really studies the history can come to that conclusion, because I know Denver says, well, if you just chop out all the evidence after June 27th, 1844, when Joseph Smith was killed, I don't think that's a good, valid way to do history. I guess if you do that, it takes out a lot of the Temple Lot case and a lot of the evidence that we have. But do you have any response to those people that want to insist that Joseph was a monogamist?
Well, they're manipulating the data. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just be transparent. Truth is as things as they really are. Joseph Smith taught that, DNC 93. And so why are we worried about what comes after? It can be valid. A person doesn't suddenly lose their memory on a certain date. And these things involving polygamy were poignant. These mm-hmm. are not memories that would be easily forgotten. There may be details that are lost. But it's just an artificial history that they're creating, a fantasy world that goes along with Denver's theology. And I know Denver. He's one of the more sophisticated alternate voices that the church has had in the recent decades. I'm old enough to have seen several come and go. I think Denver will be going. We'll just watch. He and I are about the same age, so we may go the same time. But his theology does not impress me. His claims to authority or non-authority or whatever.
He's kind of a libertarian when it comes to authority, I think.
You know, I'm sad that people are being caught in that net because he can't provide the ordinances needed, I think, to regain the blessings that Joseph talked about, Joseph Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, cool. I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Dr. Brian Hales. In our next conversation, we're going to talk about the latest project Brian's been working on. It has to do with the Book of Mormon.
But nobody is trying to come up with a really explanation of how he was able to produce the words. There's some general theories, and we'll talk about them in a minute. Mm-hmm. But that was the focus of this database, is what are the theories that people have promoted? Maybe we should talk about them now. I've isolated 8 different theories that people have promoted, naturalists, as possibly explaining how Joseph created the Book of Mormon.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe for just $5 a month at patreon.com gospeltangents, and you can hear the entire interview before everybody else. If you'd like to watch the entire video for just $8 a month, you can either subscribe on YouTube, Patreon, or my website, gospeltangents.com. Just click the yellow subscribe button, and I'll add you to our Gospel Tangents Insiders group so that you can see entire videos. For those interested in a PDF transcript, you can subscribe at either Patreon or on my website. For just $10 a month, I'll send you a PDF as soon as it's complete. If you'd like a copy of the paperback as well as a PDF, just sign up for $20 a month at either Patreon or my website, gospeltangents.com. Of course, you can buy individual transcripts at amazon.com and just do a search for Gospel Tangents Interview, and you can see all the things that we have there. Don't forget to support Gospel Tangents with an awesome t-shirt like one of these. You can subscribe at Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. Get our latest updates at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Also, you can get our Twitter updates at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got more of our great videos. Thanks again.